Good morning, everyone. Sorry we're 1 minute late. I'd like to call the August 27th, 2026 Planning Commission meeting to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Of course. Commissioner Villicana?
Here.
Commissioner Shaw?
Here.
Commissioner Avila?
Here.
Chair Lieberman?
Here. If you could all rise and join us in the flag salute, please. I need to read a statement regarding meeting protocols. Before we begin, I'd like to briefly review meeting protocols and expectations for today's hearing. Speakers are asked to address the commission as a whole, not individual commissioners. Please direct all comments to the chair. Public testimony should focus on the item before the commission and avoid repetition. Personal attacks, disruptive behavior, or comments outside the scope of the item are not permitted. For each hearing item, staff will present first, followed by the applicant or agent presentation. Public comment will then be taken. After public comment is closed, commissioners may ask questions of staff or the applicant and will deliberate before taking action. Individual speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Organized groups are limited to 5 minutes. Applicant or agent presentations are limited to 12 minutes unless otherwise noted. We appreciate everyone's cooperation in maintaining this meeting today. Thank you. I'm already tired. Let's open public comment. This is public comment for any items that are not on today's agenda. Again, not on today's agenda. We'll allow public comment for every item. If there is any public comment non-agenda related, please come forward. Going, gone. We're closing public comment at this point and going to planning staff and commission updates. Staff.
Good morning, Chair, Commissioners. Mark LaRue, Planning and Building, filling in for Eric Hughes today, who will return and join us next week, or he'll be here for your next meeting. First, I want to do an important notice for the public. We've done this before, but it's still an active campaign. So planning staff would like to advise meeting participants that there is an active phishing campaign impersonating the County Planning Department and the Planning Commission. These fraudulent messages request payment of approval fees via wire transfer. Please be advised that the County of San Luis Obispo does not request wire payments, and official county correspondence is issued only from an co.slo.ca.us email address. If you or your clients receive a message of this nature, do not respond and do not send funds. Instead, forward the email to the District Attorney's Office and contact the Department of Planning and Building directly to verify any payment requests or correspondence. Thanks for helping to protect the integrity of the county. So with that, I'll go into our staff updates. I think it's been a little while since your last meeting. There have been a couple board meetings since that time, and there were really items of interest for you guys only on the board meeting of August 4th. So I'll give you an overview of a couple of those items. There was a consent item on August 4th, an action to adopt an amendment to the rules of procedures to implement the Land Conservation Act of 1965 and Inland Land Use Ordinance to update Williamson Act project review procedures in accordance with the operational performance review conducted by KPMG. So what this really means is that the APRC, it was changed and now modified from a hearing process to a referral process. And so that was enacted and started and adopted on August 4th. Perfect. The second item was a consent item to authorize the Department of Planning and Building to transfer $186,000 in Avila Beach parking and lieu fees to SLOCOG for the purchase of repair and installation of bicycle lockers and associated infrastructure with the community of Avila Beach. And this was approved on consent as well. And there was one board business item, a request for authorization to process an application by Monarch Dunes LLC to amend the Monarch Dunes specific plan. The amendment would increase the maximum allowable lot coverage for attached single family dwellings in specific sites from 54% to 65%. And this was approved with a 5-0 vote. And you do have some items for your next meeting coming up, which I believe is scheduled for September 10th. There are four items currently on the docket. Item number one is a hearing to consider amendments to the County Coastal Land Use Ordinance, Local Coastal Program, and Real Property Division Ordinance to update regulations relating to urban dwellings and urban lot splits for consistency with state law. That's really just a cleanup procedure. The second item is a hearing to consider an ordinance amendment to Title 22 for minor technical cleanup of the implementation of a one-mile commercial cannabis prohibition buffer around the Village Reserve line of the community of Creston. The third item is a hearing to consider a request for a variance allowing grading on slopes over 30% to allow the development of a proposed four-bedroom, 4,800-square-foot single-family residence. The proposed project is located in the Village of Oak Shores within the Nacimiento Planning subarea. And the last item currently on the agenda for your next meeting is a request for a second one-year time extension for a vesting tentative tract map, Track 3146, to subdivide existing 1.7-acre parcel into six parcels for the purpose of sale or development. This subject property is within the residential single-family land use category and is located in the community of Templeton. And that completes staff updates.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions for staff? Okay, very good. Any commissioners want to share any updates? All right. We're going to be out of here at 9:11. No, we're not. Okay, we're going to move to the consent agenda. There's three items. Would anyone like to come forward on public comment for consent agenda items? Seeing none. I'll ask, I do want to share one thing before we begin deliberation. I was not appointed as of March 9th, 2023 to this commission. And while County Council has assured me that it's appropriate and allowable for me to vote on it, I've chosen to abstain. So if you could just keep that in consideration as we move forward, I'd like to see if there's any consideration or a motion.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda as written.
I'll second.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
Commissioner Villicana?
Yes.
Chair Lieberman?
Yes. Thank you. We're going to move into our public hearings. Number six. Steph, could you introduce the hearing, please?
Hearing to consider a request by Rob Tikofsky to amend the agricultural buffer established on parcel 15 of recorded tract 1536 to realign the agricultural buffer to be more consistent with adjacent parcels and enable completion of a permanent accessory structure. County file number AMEND2026-00002, Supervisorial District 1.
Thank you very much. Any Planning Commission ex parte communications to disclose? None? May we have a presentation from staff, please?
Yes, thank you. Presenting today is project planner Elizabeth Moreno with support from Carrie Brown, supervising planner.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Elizabeth Moreno, project manager with planning and building. I'm here today to present a request by Rob Tchaikovsky to amend an agricultural buffer. County file number amend 2026-00002. And then just before I get started, I would like to note that my good colleague, Cindy Chambers, prepared the staff report and also this presentation. However, she now has retired. And so she's having a good day every day. But however, if you see a typo in there, just know. That's me. Okay, with that, the amendment is to allow the reduction of an agricultural buffer recorded on lot 15 of truck 1536, which was approved in 1999. Currently, no dwelling units are allowed within the agricultural buffer. So the realignment will enable the applicant to construct an accessory structure with a guest house. Here's the vicinity map of the project site. The project is located at 1060 Hernsman's Way in the community of Templeton. Here's a land use category map. The project has a land use category designation of residential rural and is also surrounded by agricultural and residential rural land use categories. Here's a aerial view of the site. The site is bordered here in red. here's a closer look at the aerial view. And I'll just like to note that the project site is developed with a vineyard, a residence here, and then a pool and some other accessory structures in the back. And then right here to your right is where the proposed accessory structure where the guest house will be located. Here is track 1536 as recorded. And we're looking at lot 15. And then this dashed line here represents the recorded agricultural buffer. The buffer currently covers about 75% of the site, about 3.63 acres. And then here's the proposed amendment. And the agricultural buffer will be reduced about 7% of the total and is represented here in this wedge shape in red. The reduction will result in an agricultural buffer of 68% or 3.34 acres. The reduction is the bare minimum necessary to locate that accessory structure on the site with a guest house. The project has been reviewed and was approved by the agricultural buffer, the agricultural department. And then here we have an aerial view of the site. Of the proposed changes. Here in blue, is the existing agricultural buffer line, and this in red represents the change. And then here we have the proposed accessory structure with a guest house. So you can see it is the bare minimum to allow that structure on site. So with that, staff recommends that you find the project consistent with the previous mitigated negative declaration prepared for track 1536 and approve amend 2026-00002 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B and B2. I'm available for questions if you guys have any.
Thank you. Commissioners, any initial questions for staff?
I just had one. I didn't see anything in the correspondence, but has there been any correspondence or talk with the neighbor at lot 16? Because it seems like they're the only ones that might be affected.
Not that I think that there was some conversation, what I recall from my colleague. However, those were addressed. I think they kind of, she did go out there and look at the site. I guess what happened was they were building this accessory structure with the guest house on top. However, that was kind of too intrusive, and it was going to affect the facade from the front of the house. And so they decided to move it back, and they kind of organized it in a way that would comply and meet the concerns and address the concerns of the neighbor.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? If the applicant or their agent would like to come forward and share additional information, please come forward.
Hello, members of the commission. George Garcia with Garcia Architecture and Design. I'll just be brief. I'm going to expand a little bit on why we're even here. So I've known the Tahoskis for 25 years. The owner, Rob, I've known him since before he was married. Since he's gotten married, now they have two kids. They purchased the property 20 some odd years ago and have expanded it, as staff said, planted a vineyard, more of a hobby vineyard. The site's 5 acres. But this project, he came to me and said, we need some additional storage for our RV and a tractor and some other cars and whatnot. So it started as an addition for a garage/barn with a guest house above. So the original design, which is currently under construction and permitted, meets all the requirement setbacks and whatnot. So when we were framing the second floor unit, even though it completely complied, on their own, the owners called me and said, we need to stop. This looks too big. We're afraid to upset the neighbors. So in 25 years of practicing architecture, I've never gotten a call from a client saying, we need to reduce the size of the building, right? It's always the other way. So this is actually a good thing. So we had a pre-app with staff, with Cindy and the folks from the Ag Commission said, is there any way to adjust this ag buffer that's existing? And as you saw the map, it's somewhat varied. It goes from 200 to 300 to 400, depending on where you are. So it seems rather haphazard initially when the map was recorded back in the 90s, I believe. So we kind of looked at ways to not only just simply reduce the ag buffer or adjust it, but all the while the ultimate goal is to reduce the height of the perceived building from the street. And again, the neighbors really didn't have any concerns. It was really the owner saying, gosh, do we really want to have this look every time we come home, plus the impact to the neighborhood. So in the redesign, we basically moved the guest house to the back of the lot, and the adjustment, as staff said, we're basically adjusting 70 feet of this 400-foot buffer. There's no visual impact, physical impact whatsoever, but it will allow not only the guest house to be built on the back behind, fully shielded from the barn, but it will also clean up a previous problem that we had in that the actual house built in the 90s, the master bedroom encroaches into this 400-foot setback. We talked with staff. We don't really know how that happened. We don't know who signed it off, but it is what it is. So not only will this help the visual impact of this new project, but it's going to clean up the existing house and go from a non-conforming to a fully conforming condition. So I appreciate staff's help on this with Cindy, who's no longer here. I wish her well, but kind of work through all the details with her and the Ag Commission. And yeah, we hope you can approve this today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Garcia?
I got one. So So you're just putting the guest rooms on the back of it, so you're going to be single story now? Is that what you're doing?
Effectively, yes. The building it's built for an RV, so it's already got a 12 foot header.
Right, I understand that, but so you're going just behind it, so that's
correct.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Thank you. All right. Long time no see, Mr. Garcia.
Good to see you, Steve. Yes. You too, Alex.
Okay, at this time, I'd like to open this hearing item to any public comment. If you come forward, please make sure to complete one of the speaker slips. All right, then. Let's go ahead and close public comment. Everybody's going to have some deliberations.
I'd be happy to go ahead and make a motion if everybody's ready. Okay, could I have the recommendations put back up on the screen, please? Perfect. I'd like to make a motion to consider and find the project consistent with ED 89-063, the environmental negative declaration adopted with S880093T, tract 1536, approval on March 25th, 1997. And to approve amend 2026-00002 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B and B2.
I'll second.
Clerk.
Commissioner Villacana?
Yes.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Chair Lieberman?
Yes. Moving on to item number 7, would staff please introduce?
Hearing to consider a request by Richard D. Puckett and Deborah A. Willett Revocable Trust to allow for grading on slopes over 30% for the development of a 2,364 square foot, two-story single family residence with an attached 720 square foot garage, 740 square feet of decking and porches, driveway and associated site improvements, county file number N-DRC-2025-00047, Supervisorial District 1.
Thank you. Any ex parte communications to disclose? None. All right, Mr. LaRue, if you can.
Thank you, Chair. Mark LaRue, Planning and Building. This presentation will be by Sam Kinney, Project Planner, and again, support from Carrie Brown, Supervising Planner.
Puckett and Deborah Willett Revocable Trust for a variance to allow grading on slopes over 30%. County file number NDRC-2025-00047. The proposed project includes grading on slopes over 30% for a two-story single-family residence that is approximately 2,364 square feet. The project will result in disturbance of approximately 6,000 square feet on a 10,291 square foot parcel. The proposed project is located on Smith Point Road, a private road within the community of Oak Shores. The project site is close to Lake Nacimiento. The primary site access is through Shoreline Drive, which connects to Oak Shores Drive. The project site is located within the residential single-family land use category and is surrounded by parcels within the same land use category and a few recreational parcels nearby. This is an aerial image of the site. Currently, the site is vacant and surrounded by other parcels that have single-family residences and are also vacant. The proposed lot contains only slopes greater than 30%. The average slope of the parcel is 57%. The image on screen shows the slopes of the site as well as the surrounding area. Here are two pictures taken from near Smith Point Road looking northwest, showing the existing site conditions. The picture on the left shows another residence built on similar nearby slopes. The site plan, floor plans, and building elevations are shown on the next several slides. For the purpose of demonstrating existing site topography and the extent of the proposed grading, the scope of the variance request is limited to grading on slopes over 30%. The site plan shows the subject property currently on screen, outlined in red, the future single-family residence and garage highlighted in green, the deck, stairs, and rear patio highlighted in orange, and the future access driveway highlighted in yellow. Here are the floor plans of the proposed residence. On the left, you'll see the first floor floor plans, and on the right, you'll see the lower floor floor plans. These are the elevations of the proposed residence. The extent of the slopes is most clearly seen in the west and south elevations on the right side of the screen. Referral responses were received from the agencies currently shown on screen. The project is also located within the Geologic Study Combining Designation. The applicant provided a geologic investigation, which was peer-reviewed by our county geologist, and their recommended conditions were included in Exhibit B as conditions of approval. Based on staff analysis, along with the project findings and conditions of approval, staff recommends that the commission determine the project is exempt from environmental review under CEQA based on the general rule or common sense exemption, and approve variance NDRC 2025-0047 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. This concludes staff's presentation. Staff is available to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any initial questions for staff? If the applicant or their agent is interested in addressing the commission, now is a good time.
Good morning, staff, and thank you, Sam, for that wonderful presentation. My name is Nelson Arbernall with NRB Drafting. I prepared the architectural drawings for the owners and representing them today. As you can see, this is a very challenging lot. My first question to them is why? But they actually currently live up in Santa Cruz on a very steep lot similar to this, and they basically wanted to get out of Santa Cruz area because of, if anyone familiar with that area, Highway 1 is a nightmare. So they've decided to purchase this lot and they want to retire basically in San Luis Obispo County. Through some challenges on the site, obviously geological reports and some design considerations, we've developed this site which suits their needs. And I just want to make one correction, Sam, on that square footage that you have on there, I think it's like 2,300 square feet. The actual residence is only going to be about 1,700 square feet, I believe. And then I believe it's like a 500 or 600 square foot attached garage. And I believe there's some additional square footage in there for a future ADU, because you'll see that that slope is on 50%. So there is an additional bonus room underneath, but they're not proposing that at this time. So that 2,300 square feet actually will incorporate a future ADU if they can afford to build it after they do that foundation. So again, we've got approval by the Oak Shores Association up there, and they've approved it. Colors, slopes, and whatnot. So hopefully we'll get approved and get them under construction. Any questions for me?
Thank you. Any questions for the agent? Thank you very much. If anyone's here to speak on this project, please come forward and complete a speaker slip when you're finished. Seeing none, we will close public comment and bring it back to the commission.
I'm ready to make a motion if you guys are ready to go. Can I go ahead and have that recommendation put back up? I would like to make a motion to approve the project as covered by CEQA general rule exemption and to approve NDRC 2025-00047 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
Second.
Clerk.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
Sorry. Commissioner Villicana?
Yes.
Then Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Chair Lieberman?
Yes. Thank you. That concludes that hearing item. Where are we? Okay, number 8, please, if you can.
A hearing to consider a request by Ronald and Heather McKenna for a minor use permit to allow for construction of a single-family residence within the South County Highway Corridor area and a variance to allow grading on slopes exceeding 30% and an amendment to parcel map S990084 C099-0254 to allow the proposed height of the single family residence to exceed 20 feet. County file number N-DRC 2025-00035, Supervisorial District 4.
Thank you very much. If you can introduce our staff team, please.
Mark LaRue, Planning and Building, and back again, Sam Kinney and Carrie Brown.
May I cut you off for a moment? Press pause. I forgot to ask about ex parte communications. Anyone?
No.
Okay. Go. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Sam Kinney. I am the project manager with the Planning and Building Department. I'll be presenting a request by Ron and Heather McKenna for a minor use permit for modifications to the highway corridor design standards, a variance for grading on slopes over 30%, and an amendment to allow conditions of approval for S990084P/CO99-0254 to allow for a maximum structure height of 35 feet. County file numbers NDRC 2025-00035 and amend 2026-0004. The proposed project includes grading on slopes over 30%, for a three-story single-family residence that is approximately 11,446 square feet. The project will result in site disturbance of approximately 0.88 acres of disturbance on a 21.86-acre parcel. The project requires a minor use permit because it does not meet the South County Highway Design Corridor standards, which does not allow for grading on slopes over 20%, and the proposed residence will exceed the allowable height limit of 25 feet. Parcel map CO99-0254 was approved with a more restrictive height condition, only allowing structures to be a maximum of 20 feet. The applicant is requesting this condition be changed to allow for a maximum height of 35 feet on parcel 1. The proposed project is located on Ridgecrest Place, a private road outside of the community of Napomo. The project site is located in the foothills near Tamatate Ridge. The primary site access is through Ridgecrest, a private road. The project site is located within the residential rural land use category. The site is surrounded by parcels within the residential rural and rural lands and agriculture land use category. This is an aerial image of the parcel. Currently, the site is vacant and located near other single-family residences and vacant parcels. The proposed lot contains diverse topography. The existing average natural grade of the overall site is 41%. Parcel map CO99-0254 created building envelopes for a future residence, which are currently shown on screen. The proposed residence will be located within this building envelope. The existing topography of the site is shown on screen. Anything that is shown in pink, gray, or purple is a slope over 30%. This is the site plan for the proposed project. The proposed single-family residence is in green, the fire turnaround and driveway are in orange, and the fire water storage tanks and leach field are shown in yellow. Here is the first floor floor plan of the proposed residence. Here is the second floor floor plan. And here is the third floor floor plan. These are the north and west elevations of the proposed residence. The extent of the slopes is most clearly seen in the north elevation located on the bottom. These are the south and east elevations of the proposed residence. This is the proposed color and materials board for the project. The project intends to use dark colors and earth tone materials to help blend in with the surrounding landscape and hillside. The proposed landscaping plan is shown on screen. It includes evergreen and drought-tolerant plants and provides screening to the proposed residence. The project is conditioned to have at least 50% screening at 7 years after planting. This is a visualization of what the proposed screening will look like at approximately 5 to 7 years. Please note that the coast live oaks shown fully covering the structure will continue to grow well after the 7 years. staff supports amending the conditions of approval based on the fact that the structure will be partially screened and will blend in with the surrounding hillside. This is a map showing the different viewpoints that were analyzed as part of the visual analysis. Viewpoints 1 through 5 were taken from Highway 101. All of these viewpoints are well over 2 miles from the site. Because of this, the next set of images you're about to see are all zoomed in to better show the proposed residence. The residence will be circled on screen in each of these images. This is an image from viewpoint 2. This is an image from viewpoint 3. This is an image from viewpoint 4. This is an image from viewpoint 5. This is an image from viewpoint 6. Referral responses were received from the following agencies currently shown on screen. A memo was prepared by staff to add an additional condition of approval to Exhibit C. The condition is currently shown on screen. All subsequent conditions after this one will need to be renumbered. Public comment was received from a neighbor who was concerned about the noise potentially generated from construction activities occurring on site. The commenter requested that the following conditions be added to the project. Staff also received comment regarding analysis done in the staff report describing APN 090-471-020 and 090-471-021 and 090-471-017 as developed parcels with similar geographic and topographic conditions. APN 090-471-020 and 090-471-021 do not currently contain a residence, but the site has been previously improved by grading for a driveway and a building pad. That site is currently shown on the lower left side of the screen. APN 090-471-017 does not contain a driveway with slopes over 30%. This was a typo and meant to refer to the neighboring parcel APN 090-016, where a driveway was built on slopes greater than 30%. Based on staff analysis, along with the project findings and revised conditions of approval, staff recommends that the Commission adopt the addendum to the mitigated negative declaration in compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act pursuant to sections 15164A and 15162. And approve the map amendment, minor use permit, and variance based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B for the map amendment, and the revised conditions as presented by staff for Exhibit C for the minor use permit and variance. This concludes staff's presentation. Staff is available to answer any questions, and joining us today is the applicant team, Corey Goodwin and Macy Sheets. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any initial questions of staff?
I had a question just on your viewpoint photos. Were those before or after the 7 years of growth of screening?
Are these ones?
Yeah, and like the one before too, yeah.
These are showing it at approximately 5 to 7 years, so okay. It would take some time for that landscaping coverage to come in.
Okay, and I see, because I'm just trying to look at this photo 5, and actually, yeah, both of them are 5, but it seemed like there are similar houses to the left. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, that is correct. The area was largely developed with building envelope sites located in the flattest parts of this kind of ridge area, so there is some other hilltop development nearby.
All right, gotcha. All right, thank you.
I have one question. And I don't know if you know this or not, but maybe the applicant would. What was the neighbor located? Where is the neighbor located here that had the noise issues?
I'm going to pull up the vicinity map to kind of better show you. So the neighbor in question, I believe, is this neighbor right here.
Okay. Do we know how far away that? Well, I guess, first of all, let me ask, Ben, is this even in our purview to, or is this after applicants?
Yeah, Ben Dora, County Council. So there is an exemption to our noise ordinance for construction activities, so it's not something that the county regulates.
Okay.
Are there days and times, though, that are already built in?
Well, yeah. During normal daytime hours, the noise threshold is higher and it goes down during nighttime hours. So during when you would expect construction to occur, it would be. But even with those limits, construction activities are still exempt.
Okay. And then weekends, though, they were asking for Sunday specifically. Is Sunday like a?
I don't think that there's any. But let me double check that, and okay. I'll jump in if that's any different.
Okay.
So with that said, do you know the distance from the building pad to the neighbors by any chance?
Yeah, it's approximately 900-ish feet.
Okay. That's all I got.
All right, I'd like to invite the agents for the applicant to come forward if you'd like to share additional information. Pass. Okay. Let's go ahead and open it to public comment. If you're here to comment on this hearing item, please come forward and be sure to complete a speaker slip. And done. Closing public comment. Commission deliberation, conversation, motion.
Ben Dorth, County Council. Just jump in here on the noise. So Monday through Friday, it's between the hours of 7 and 9, and then Saturday and Sunday, it's 8 and 5. So reduced hours for the weekend.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm ready to make a motion unless... I will move to approve. I just had two comments. One, when I was reading the staff report, I mean, the lead is 11,446 square foot home, and I'm thinking, is this like Iron Man? And then it was kind of like buried the lead, because then you get in there and it's like, oh, that counts the deck and that counts everything. So I don't know, maybe lay that out for us sometimes, because I was like, this is insane. Also just property owners, you're lucky you're not in Grover Beach. And I'm ready to approve this because I believe in housing and they have the right to do this with their land. But it is even more important to do things like this to house large numbers of people and bring down costs. So this is important to approve, as are other decisions in other cities. So with that, I'm going to move to approve. I don't know if you want to bring up the motion so I do it properly.
While we're waiting for that, may I add a comment? I think life's good in Grover Beach. I highly recommend investment in Grover Beach, although it's not the purview of my job as a planning commissioner. So, longtime resident. Thank you.
Okay, so I am going to move to approve amended item 2026-0003 and NDRC 2025-00035 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B and C, as well as the addendum that was prepared to the previously adopted mitigated negative declaration.
I'll second.
All right. Clerk, roll call, please.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
Commissioner Villacana?
Yes.
And Chair Lieberman?
Yes. Thank you. That completes this hearing item. Where are we? We're good. Okay, we're going to go ahead and allow staff to set up for hearing item number 9.
Hearing to consider a request by Flint, a general partnership, for a tract map and conditional use permit and conditional use permit covering two adjacent parcels. The tract map and conditional use permit N-SUB-2025-0026 will authorize smaller lot sizes as a planned development and follow the construction of 12 detached single-family residences of 1,654 square feet each on the south side of Flint Place. The conditional use permit N-DRC-2025-00031 will authorize 24 one-bedroom apartment units of 651 square feet each on the south side of Flint Place. County file number N-SUB-2025-00026 and N-DRC-2025-00031, Supervisorial District 4.
Thank you. Staff, are you ready? Could you introduce the team, please?
Thank you, Chair. Mark LaRue, Planning and Building. Presenting this item is Lane Sutherland, Senior Planner, with Cheryl Koo, Supervising Planner.
Good morning, Chair and Commissioners. The item before you is a request by Flint, a general partnership involving two coordinated residential projects in Napomo, vesting tentative tract map 3250 with a conditional use permit and a separate conditional use permit for an adjacent apartment development. Together, the projects would create 36 new residences. The Southern Project, N-SUB-2025-00026, would subdivide an approximately 0.96 acre parcel into 12 lots and allow 12 detached single-family residences through a planned development. The Northern Project, N-DRC-2025-00031, would establish 24 one-bedroom apartment units in three buildings. Both projects are coordinated with the extension of Flint Place and associated infrastructure. For the subdivision, the conditional use permit authorizes a planned development with smaller residential lots. Three Title 21 adjustments are also requested: underground stormwater retention in lieu of conventional street tree placement, 24-foot private access widths where 40 feet is otherwise required, and private access serving the 12-lot subdivision where the ordinary standard limits private easements to 5 parcels. For the apartments, the applicant requests a one-space guest parking reduction and uses 2 regional housing incentive program points to waive the otherwise applicable commercial use or affordable housing requirement. The project is located at 651 West Teff Street in Napomo, near the West Teff Street and US Highway 101 interchange. The two parcels are shown together here on the map. Although the existing boundaries currently take access from West Teff Street, the proposed development would take access from an extension of Flint Place beginning at Mary Avenue. The northern apartment site is in the commercial retail land use category. Multifamily residential development on that site requires conditional use permit approval. The southern subdivision site is in the residential multifamily land use category. Its detached single family residences and smaller lots are proposed as a part of a planned development. The aerial image here shows the relationship between the northern apartment site shown in blue, the southern subdivision shown in red, and the proposed Flint Place extension between them shown in yellow. The properties currently contain two single-family residences and an existing driveway via connection to the West Teff Street, which is that flag portion of the blue parcel. Topography is mostly level to gradually sloping, and existing vegetation includes grasses, shrubs, ornamental plantings, and scattered oak trees. The project would be served by the Napomo Community Services District for water and sewer infrastructure. The northern site plan shown here includes 24 one-bedroom apartment units arranged in three buildings, with 8 units in each building. Each apartment is approximately 651 square feet in livable space. A central common area includes play structures, landscaping, and benches, and the project takes access from Flint Place. Parking is provided on both sides of the development with 30 total spaces. In total, the project requires 24 standard parking spaces and 7 guest spaces. Because 31 would otherwise be required, the project requests a 1-space guest parking adjustment. These renderings illustrate the apartment development as viewed from Flint Place and the surrounding parking areas. The buildings are 2 stories and use muted neutral colors, stucco finishes, and stone veneer accents. The design includes private patios or balconies, landscaped building frontages, and drought-tolerant planting intended to soften the street view. The southern site would contain 12 detached, 2-story single-family residences, each approximately 1,654 square feet. The proposed lots range from 2,591 to 2,858 square feet in gross area. Access is provided from Flint Place through 3 shared motor courts, and the site plan includes 6 guest parking spaces. The smaller lot sizes are why the project requires plan development approval and the requested private access adjustments. The subdivision renderings shown here show the appearance of the detached homes along Flint Place and within the shared motor courts. The homes are 2 stories with varied roof lines, stucco finishes, stone veneer accents, attached garages, and covered balconies. Drought-tolerant landscaping is incorporated along the frontage and around individual homes. The landscaping plan covers both sides of Flint Place and coordinates the appearance of the apartment and subdivision projects. Landscaping is proposed along the street frontage, within residential front yards, in apartment common areas, and around parking lots. Native and drought-tolerant species are proposed. Because underground stormwater retention limits conventional street tree placement, trees are instead provided within the front yard and parking lot landscaped areas. The vesting tentative tract map shows the division of the approximately 0.96 acre southern parcel into 12 residential lots. The map identifies the 3 shared 24-foot wide private access areas, proposed access and utility easements, drainage improvements, and the public right-of-way dedication associated with the Flint Place extension. The plan development format allows the proposed smaller lot sizes, and the conditions require ongoing maintenance of the private access areas. The South County Advisory Council's Land Use Committee reviewed the project on January 12, 2026, and forwarded it to the full council without a recommendation. On January 26th, the full council discussed fire access, emergency egress, parking, and increased traffic on Mary Avenue, and voted not to endorse the project as submitted. Additionally, staff received 2 letters from local residents, which discussed similar items. Referral responses were received from the County Planning or County Building Division, County Environmental Health, County Public Works, County Fire, County Parks, and the Healthy Communities Organization. Applicable agency comments and recommended requirements have been incorporated into the project review and conditions of approval. Also to be considered is the determination that no further environmental review is required pursuant to State CEQA Guidelines Section 15162, and that the project may rely on the previously adopted mitigated negative declaration. The current applications propose the same physical development evaluated in the environmental document adopted by the Planning Commission on October 22nd, 2021, and applicable mitigation measures remain incorporated into the conditions of approval. Staff recommends approval of N-SUB 2025-00026 and N-DRC 2025-00031 based on the findings in Exhibits A and C and the conditions in Exhibits B and D. That concludes staff's presentation. Staff is available to respond to any questions from the commissioners. Also available are the applicant's team here today.
Thank you very much. Any commissioners with questions for staff?
I just had one because, yeah, we read those comment letters as well, especially about concerns about egress and ingress and just pedestrian access, because it is a very kind of weird little piece that comes down. So what's the response to that or what?
Sure. I prepared a couple of slides if you'd like me to go over those briefly, as these were items the commission discussed when the project originally came through. And there's already some findings outlined by staff for that. So beginning, could you pull up mine? Thank you. So beginning with the overall design, the pedestrian path would need to be 4 feet in width, which is the narrowest allowed to be ADA compliant. The pedestrians would be subject to two counterposing flows of traffic on either side. Vehicles would also be backing out of adjacent parking spaces and through the drive aisles to enter and exit the neighboring commercial property. Additionally, West Teff Street is a heavily traveled arterial road, and the pedestrian path would lead residents directly between two drive approaches from West Teff Street. This parking lot is also not well lit in contrast to the publicly maintained sidewalks on Flint Place. Although the additional pedestrian access could be feasibly designed and constructed, the quality and usefulness of the improvement would be compromised. Related to aesthetics and design, the existing landscaping would need to be removed to accommodate the pedestrian path. The pedestrian path would be a 4 foot wide elevated concrete path. There isn't adequate width to provide a landscape buffer between the maneuvering vehicles and pedestrians using the path. And the county would not have design standard oversight related to the private path construction unless the Planning Commission identified the specific level and type of improvement in the conditions of approval. Related to maintenance, the pedestrian path would be privately maintained and would not be a public sidewalk, although limiting pedestrian path use and access to residents of this project only would not be practical. The sidewalk improvements along the Flint Place Road extension would be built to county standards and available for public use. Additionally, the burden of the pedestrian path maintenance would be solely on the property owner and somewhat uncertain as the design standards are not regulated by the county. Related to site security, the users of the private pedestrian path would likely include the general public as well as residents of the apartment project and the track map, leading them directly through the existing commercial development and apartment parking lot in order to access Flint Place. A security gate and fences could be considered at the entrance to the parking lot. However, those design elements tend to detract from the quality and ease of providing pedestrian circulation improvements for occupants and add to construction and maintenance costs. Here's a site diagram the applicant had provided showing preferred pedestrian path of travel. The applicant has demonstrated that there is no crosswalk at the end of the 25 foot wide portion of the lot once you reach West Teff Street. Thus, directing pedestrians down through a commercial parking lot to West Teff Street could create an unsafe condition if pedestrians try to cross West Teff Street where there's no crosswalk. The current pedestrian circulation design involves an approximately 3 minute walk to the pedestrian crosswalk at the corner of West Teff Street and Mary Avenue from the furthest most residential unit. The potential redesign involves an approximately 4 minute walk to the pedestrian crosswalk at the corner of West Teff Street and Mary Avenue from the furthest most residential unit.
Okay, thank you for that background.
Sure.
I have a couple questions. I'm I'm going to ask this for Ann since she's not here. The apartment units, what are those going to count? Are those lower income, moderate income, market rate? And how will that help us hit our arena numbers?
Those units are market rate. They are paying into our new incentive program, though, and those funds go directly towards exacting affordable housing in other parts of the county.
Okay, so they're taking the preference points off of that. Okay. And then I had one more. On the Flint extension, is street parking going to be allowed on that road, or is that no parking?
There will be an addition of 9 parking spaces on the northern side of Flint Place with the apartments, and 7 parking spaces on the southern portion of Flint Place near the subdivision project. Okay. So 16 new street parking spaces that don't otherwise exist.
I was just wondering if you could expand on the reason why the South County Advisory decided not to support this project.
Yeah, so I was present at the meeting. Their main discussion points were they would like to have seen the pedestrian path. They were concerned with the parking numbers. They were concerned that there wasn't emergency access for fire trucks through that flag portion of the lot, which that item specifically, County Fire weighed in, and they didn't prefer to have that. They said they had adequate resources from Flint Place to service these new developments. And then, as you all know, residents are often weary of the traffic and impacts associated with any new development. So members of the public had a lot of comments on their concerns with traffic, I'd say was the leading reason their board chose not to recommend approval.
And if I could just tag on to that, thank you for bringing that up. So concerns with fire and emergency access, which is a pretty frequent concern, yet County Fire's referral response based on fire code was to support the design as conditioned by County Fire?
Correct. The original hearings in October 22nd, 2021 had directed staff to work with County Fire and specifically look deeper into emergency routes and what the fire department would like. And there were findings made that the fire chief thought that it would actually be worse off to have a second emergency access through that point. And they have designed a hammerhead turnaround, which was a part of a redesign they originally did, to allow for fire trucks to turn around on Flint Place.
If I may, J.R. Beard, Public Works. So to add on to what Lena said, so yes, we will be working with Cal Fire, County Fire, during the subdivision improvement phase to ensure that a hammerhead turnaround is installed at the end of Flint Place for purposes of ingress egress of emergency vehicles and the like. I also would like to note, you know, from a secondary access point of view, they will be doing a Flint Place extension, and the eventual goal will be that this extension actually extends down to Bloom Street when other property owners develop, so that there will be, you know, continued access for emergency and otherwise to address traffic concerns that was mentioned. You know, this effectively, you know, Public Works looks at it from a level of service standpoint, what, you know, the project is going to generate as far as traffic on our roadways. Minimal, you know, it's going to be 36 peak hour trips. And for us, we really don't start to look at like dedicated turn lanes and things like that until you get to 100. So this project doesn't even get close to that threshold. Plus with the interchange that, you know, improvements that were done a couple years ago, you know, the Teff Street corridor has been improved slightly from that. And overall, we don't have any concerns from traffic. Also important to note that the apartment site is, the zoning is commercial. So with 24 units, it's going to generate less traffic potentially than another commercial retail use. So, you know, it's a betterment for traffic circulation in the area.
All right. Thank you both for the information. Any other questions for staff at this moment? Nope. Okay, I'd like to invite the applicant or their agent to come forward. Bless you.
Well, good morning. My name is Dennis Schmidt. I'm the agent for the applicants. They are present in the audience right now if you have questions of them. I agree completely, and we agree completely with the analysis that staff has presented. Lane has been very, very helpful through this project, and Public Works comments just now I felt were really relevant. It was a little discouraging with the South County Advisory Group on the comments they made. And one that really caught me is that they drank coffee at the Starbucks that's on Mary Street. And there's lots of traffic there when they go there in the morning time. And this project would add more traffic. I was a little bit befuddled by that. Anyhow, kind of apologize for materials that I handed out. I had a glitch yesterday and my Wi-Fi to my printer went out. And it left me till about 9 o'clock trying to find a way of printing things. But what caught my eye was the presentation by Lane, and I included materials at the end of attachments to the end of that letter that I provided. And those documents are from the previous approval. And when I saw the slides, there are the exact same slides up on the screens. And again, we are reiterating over and over again, this is the same project that was approved previously by the Planning Commission. So to kind of go over I don't want to repeat a lot of things that were said. I'll go over this. As explained by within staff's presentation, this project was previously reviewed and approved by the Planning Commission, but due to administrative lapse that dealt with the timely filing of the map extension, the previous entitlements expired and are being brought forward again to you today. The project remains a planned unit development. On the south side of the street, there are the 12 detached single-family units within a plan development approval. Across the street are apartments. And with the apartments, there's street parking. There's off-street parking, a common area, and play equipment, and bike racks also. Interestingly enough, with respect to the one parking spot, the previous Planning Commission thought it would be good to have trash enclosures on both parking lots. And so that commission approved the one lot removal for that added parking enclosure, which we came in originally with a full compliance with the parking, but thought that the idea that they presented or talked about was good. And so that's why we made the change. There was a discussion about county fire department standards. When the project was started, there was kind of a staggered three-point turn at the end of the street, and the fire department didn't like that because it didn't conform with their hammerhead turnaround. So that was adjusted. There would be a turnaround that was acceptable to county fire. They had made comments within their email to me that they wanted to make sure that it was secure and asked of us if we could dedicate that area, and I didn't see a problem with putting that on the map and dedicating it on the face of the map. And so that helped with the fire department. And just in the overall discussion about accessing Teff Street from Flint Place, when I deal with the fire department, I think of emergency services because there's really not a lot of fires as much as there are ambulances and other emergency equipment that has to go to a place and or to a location. And just think about an ambulance or even a fire truck goes down that strip to Teff Street and they get there, and the traffic that's crossing Teff Street at that point, and how simple it is or unsimple it's going to be for the emergency services vehicles to get into that traffic flow that's in the street. So it's a, Very dangerous situation, and having the light at Mary Kay, at Mary and Teft, is much more sensible and easier for them to control. It was mentioned by Lane about the change, if there is a change in the project description, and that's the contribution of $60,000 amounts to, but that's the 2 points that's going to be contributed to the Regional Housing Incentive Program, which is a mechanism that allows, in our case, the applicant to maintain the exact same configuration that we had previously. There's been, I don't know if you know, since that was approved, the setback ordinance has changed, and then this regional housing program has been implemented, and they kind of complement, allows applicants to use to maintain the configuration of the project that they had before. In closing, the project is consistent with the land use designations. It provides needed housing that is a priority that our Board of Supervisors has extremely emphasized over the past year. It incorporates all required infrastructure improvements. We respectfully request that the hearing board approve the tract map, the conditional use permit as submitted and presented to you. So thank you for your consideration. And if you have questions, please ask. And again, as I said, the applicants are in the audience to answer questions if I can't do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Schmidt? All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
I got one for JR at Public Works. What, you don't have to give us exact numbers, but just relatively, what capacity is Mary and Teft at right now as far as traffic travel? Is it 50%, 90%, 150%? Not during peak hours, but just overall, is how much room is there for growth?
That is a very good question. So unfortunately, I don't have that answer in front of me, but I do know that the improvements with the interchange that had occurred and the frontage road, it, you know, kind of shifted traffic around a little bit, so there still is capacity. I don't know what level service Mary is at currently, but I know it's not at, you know, level service F, for instance. I can try to look into that and get back to you, but I know
that'd probably be good to know, because as the commission, I think, just so we're aware of it, we're probably going to, as the county's asking for a tremendous growth in high density housing, we can't factor in sometimes parking, so then we're going to hear about traffic. But at the same time, we're going to have, you know, how much can we factor in the traffic? And I feel like Napomo is going to get a lot of growth because just where it's positioned in the county and the amenities that are there. I mean, you're going to have more growth for high density housing there versus Crescent or San Miguel. So just so we're kind of aware of what we have there for expansion, so we're not kind of blind. Because I feel like we're going to see a lot of units going in there. That's it.
Do you have something?
Yeah, I just had one question for staff, because I think, I don't know if I fully understood when I was reading it that this is just kind of a reapproval. Would you agree with that characterization?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason, so for example, about a year ago, we adopted new standards for residential development in the commercial retail land use category. So previously, there was opportunity through the CUP for them to waive commercial standards. Now they have to utilize our incentive points to waive those ground floor commercial requirements for the residential multifamily development. So that's the main change between the originally approved project and this one. But physically, it's the same exact project.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, and I'll just weigh in real quick with a comment, because I am in that area quite often. If the concern was the traffic regarding coffee, since January 2026, they've opened a Dutch Bros that's down the street, and they've opened a second Starbucks location in Santa Maria. So truly, there is less traffic at that Starbucks since this discussion in January 2026, just to put that on the table. And also, you know, it's either way, you're going to have feedback from folks because this is exactly the type of infill we're encouraged to do. You know, this is already all developed around it. We're not going to lose any beautiful oak trees or anything like that. So this is kind of the projects that we're supposed to be approving. So I'm ready to move for approval whenever you guys are.
All right, let's hold that thought because I need to open public comment. If there's anyone interested in speaking on this item, please come forward and fill out a speaker slip. Seeing none, you can release the hold on your comment.
Okay, if you want to bring up the slide, I'll read it to make the motion. Let's see, I will move to approve N-Sub 2025-00026 and N-DRC 2025-00031 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and C and the conditions listed in Exhibits B and D. Oh, and then I guess I will also include the findings on the mitigated negative declaration.
And I'll second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
Commissioner Villacana?
Yes.
Commissioner Lieberman?
Yes. This concludes this hearing item. At this point in the meeting, I will entertain a motion to take all testimony and correspondence into the record.
So moved.
Voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I will also entertain a motion to adjourn to the next regularly scheduled meeting of September 10th, 2026.
So moved.
Voice vote, please. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. This meeting's adjourned at 10:13. Thank you.